Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestle Horror. Greetings, viewers and listeners. Meat Hook Jim here, along with my co-host Donnie Hoover. Donnie, what is going on?
Oh, man, that's a lot going on. It's been crazy. Busy, busy, busy.
It has. I'll tell you what, we are the Wrestle Horror Podcast, and this episode, we're going to talk a little bit on the haunt side of things, and this whole COVID-19, are haunts going to open? Aren't haunts going to open? What kind of contingencies are in place? Donnie and I have been talking about this. I've talked to other haunt owners on my other podcast. A lot of craziness is going on. That's the only way I can say it right now. There's a lot of uncertainty. What do you think, Donnie?
Yeah, I totally agree. And I know we've talked about this COVID stuff on many occasions, and it's mainly been directed toward wrestling, you know, especially with like New Ohio Wrestling, where we got canceled by the Arnold, canceled by the fair. I was just actually on the Ohio Athletic Commission call this past Tuesday, and, you know, to get an update on when they were going to reopen, you know, contact sports and contact entertainment and stuff, and they still don't have an answer. So as of right now, you know, professional wrestling isn't even allowed in Ohio at this moment. So that's, you know, that brings the big concerns up for the haunt industry too. You know, all the major conventions have canceled, and haunt conventions and everything is canceled. So so this week we're going to continue talking about some of the COVID stuff, but it's going to be directed strictly for the haunt industry, which is, just basically, you know, it's going to be here quicker than we realize. It's just right around the corner pretty much.
It is. This time of year, haunt owners are usually scrambling to get set up. And with this COVID situation, a whole new wrench has been thrown into the works. I mean, here we are in June. This is really crunch time for a lot of haunts. But with these restrictions in place, things have to be changed. If haunt owners are going to open, radical changes have to be made. And one of the big things is, in a haunt, people get in your face. Uh-huh. And that's going to be very difficult to do with the COVID restrictions that are in place right now, because, you know, me being a haunt actor in the past, I mean, nothing tickled me more than just get up in somebody's face and scare the shit out of them.
Right, yeah, standing right beside them.
Right, but it's kind of hard to do that from 6 feet away. Mm-hmm. You know, so how do you do that? I mean, there's been haunts out there that have come up with unique ideas to do that. Some haunts are rerouting the way their haunts run. But... you know, this is going to be hard, not just only for the haunt owners, but the haunt actors as well, because it's ingrained in them. A lot of them just get in their face, especially queue line actors. Mm-hmm. One thing that bothers me about this whole thing is there's going to be a distinct lack of queue line actors this season, I believe, because of these restrictions. What do you think?
Yeah, I completely agree. I think this is going to be the year where, you know, if the attractions are even allowed to open, they're going to have to be creative. You know, just a couple quick examples, like you said, the queue line, you know, instead of the actors being out there in their face, you know, walking through the crowd, getting people, you know, telling the story of the haunt, you know, they're going to have to come up with different ways, you know, of maybe video, you know, have television screens set up with the stories and stuff, you know. And even I was just thinking about this the other day. You know, instead of like, if you're going through a haunt and you got the creepers that follow up behind you and stuff like that, and the ones that jump out at you and get right close to you and stuff, you know, they're going to have to, you know, modify those as well. And I mean, you may even see haunts that are basically just scenes only, to where they have the scenes with the plexiglass, you know, blocking, to where the actors and the patrons don't touch, you know. And it'll be a lot of the actors in the scenes, you know, doing scares and with different actors, you know, or just them jumping out and slamming into the plexiglass or something, you know. It's going to be hard. People are going to have to modify what they're doing.
See, and that's just it. how do you scare somebody from 6 feet away? I mean,
right.
You'll get the creep factor going in, but you can't get in there and break that bubble to where they really get freaked out. And that's going to be one of the toughest hurdles for these haunts, mm-hmm. is to keep people the 6 feet away. Now, on the opposite side of the coin, I think masks will become very prevalent as opposed to makeup this year because of, mm-hmm. you know, the COVID restrictions. The masks will help.
Yep.
But what do you do? I mean, there's so many variables out there. It depends on state to state. It depends on, you know, municipality to municipality as to what their full rules are. And one thing you and I had discussed, and this is something that we did on the Big Scary Show, our last episode, the Fear Factory out in Salt Lake City has created a 30 page?
That's a 60 page.
It's a 60 page. Okay, it's grown up. Uh-huh. 60 page contingency plan to work in the current COVID environment.
Yep. Yeah, this is version 6.0, it looks like. So they've been updating it.
You know, we talked to these guys last week on Big Scary Show, and Spencer Terry and Heidi and Rob, they've really done their homework, and their actors were on board. And one thing that I know they told us they did was they had to reroute the path of their haunt to where actors could not get within 6 feet of the patrons because they had the Halfway to Halloween show. But they did it in a unique way because actors actually became the distractions, and the scares came in the form of an air cannon, a horn, things like that. The actors would distract. They'd hit a hidden button, and boom, they were still getting a scare, which I thought was a very unique way to do it. Is it the ideal way to do it? No, but they got nothing but great reviews from the people that went through. They sold out immediately, and they had sold out for Saturday night as well, unfortunately, due to the protests that were going on the Saturday night. They had to shut down because protests were too close to where their location was. But they did get a solid Friday out, and they have taken this contingency plan and shared it with the haunt community for free.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I thought that was great. A great idea.
It is. I mean, there's a lot of haunt owners that think if they don't already have this, they should have this. Mm-hmm. Because if you're going to open, you've got to make changes. You just can't do what you normally do.
Right. Yeah. And one of the things I wanted to dig deeper on that you'd mentioned is this, and I also had thought of this as well, as like we said, the actors and humans can't get close this year, we're going to assume. And so it's going to rely more on, like you said, the air cannons and even props, you know, mechanical props. You know, the humans, you know, the human actors can't get close to you, but it's not to say that a mechanical prop can't come out and get close to you and get that scare as well. But then that'll bring on the other aspect of, you know, you're going to have somebody hiding in the shadows in case one of those, you know, customers touches the prop. Then they, you know, the person in the shadows has to be there to wipe that prop down again real quick before the next group comes through. And but yeah, I think it's going to highly depend on, like you said, the air cannons, the big noises, the mechanical props and stuff like that, hydraulics, you know, that kind of thing.
Right. It's kind of like a reverse of what it used to be. Mm-hmm. You know, whereas these types of things were distractions, now they're becoming the scares.
Right.
And you got to watch out for those mechanical props. You never know when one's going to go crazy and take somebody's head off. No.
Yeah, that just adds to the scare of it.
Well, yeah, Look, that's realistic. Somebody's head popped
off. Yeah, just, I mean, even like for me, you know, my favorite thing is drop panels. You know, I enjoy being in drop panels. And, you know, that's even going to have to be modified this year because, yeah, you can still drop the panel down, but you can't come out of the window at the people. You're going to have to, you know, stay back, or there's going to have to be like a plexiglass block
right
in place. So it's just, you know, it's going to be a lot of modifications this year. And you know, it's going to be inconvenient for a lot of people, but it could be a good thing because, it, you know, somebody could discover a new and better way to do something because of it, you know. Yeah, who knows what's going to happen.
Yep, that's true. Well, I had somebody here, my wife, come on. Mm-hmm.
The queen of the darkness.
My wife's here. See, say hi to Chris. And she was trying to tell me something. She was trying to tell me something about something that happened to her in spirit once. What was that?
That was a prop that I was showing a little old lady. She was looking for something for her home haunt. And this was a peekaboo penny prop where if you step on the step pad, it would go, it had its hands in front of its face. And then when it said peekaboo, the head would pop up. Well, she loved it, except for the fact that when the head popped up, it kept on going. And the head just flew across the store and she fell back, and another customer caught her just before she hit the floor, but she was screaming so badly, I thought she was going to have a heart attack. And of course, I'm on about hitting the floor laughing so hard because that was the perfect prop.
Right. Because
I thought, oh my God, if the head flew off, what a scare, right? Except you'd have to have somebody there every time to put the head back on.
Back on, yeah. Have it hooked to a safety chain or something so don't go too far away.
And the funny thing is we still have that head.
Yep. I kept the head out of posterity.
Oh, nice.
Just my input.
There you go. That's a good one. Yeah, that's a good point. You know, props, you know, doing stuff they're not supposed to, you know.
Exactly.
She'll be home in 15 minutes, and I'm going to Animal Friends for 2 minutes.
That was a funny story. I'd forgotten about that. I'm glad she came up here. She came up and told me something and heard us talking about that. So that
right. Was... Yep, it's something to consider because, like we, you know, like we were saying, I'm assuming props and animatronics and stuff like that are going to be, you know, more of a factor this year than before previous years.
No, they're going to have to be. You know, other than that, I just don't know how you can beat the 6 feet.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I was actually, because we're in Ohio, which is where our, you know, our haunts are based out of, and I was actually looking on the Ohio Department of Health website. And it's got it up here where they're saying the mandatory thing for employees is 6 feet, you know, which is pretty much standard at this point in time. So, I mean, you know, you're not going to have any actors, you know, in the same rooms together anymore.
Right.
And if you are, they're going to be, you know, one corner and, you know, one on the other corner, which isn't going to be very effective.
Right.
It's saying that they're going to have all your facial coverings, which goes back to where you're predicting that mask will be more prominent this year, which I agree. And that's going to make it even hotter for the, you know, for the staff. So that's going to be, you know, a challenge in itself because you're going to have the mask, but you also have to have a covering over your nose and mouth, I would assume. So you can't get, you know, stuff on people.
Right.
Yeah. They're going to have to do the take your temperature, you know, regular hand washing. They're saying they got to place hand sanitizers in high contact locations, which here's a question. I mean, I totally get that, but do you think that would make a haunt less effective because a haunt that uses scents, like if you go into a butcher room and it smells like rotten meat a little bit, but now you go in there and all you smell is like hand sanitizer and sanitizing wipes. I mean, do you think that would take away from the effectiveness of some scenes?
Well, you know, that depends because there is hand sanitizer that is unscented.
Odorless. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And then, you know, places like, you know, along that line, you know, Froggy's Fog. Everybody in the haunt industry knows Froggy's Fog.
Uh-huh.
They have been creating sanitizer for weeks now. Yep. Instead of, you know, and but they still have fog. If they could work the two in, there you go.
Right, like a sanitizing fog. That'd be amazing.
Right. But, you know, some of the scents, you know, they might be overpowered because, you know, even unscented hand sanitizer does have the smell of alcohol. That's going to be a tough one, to be honest with you. I don't know how that's going to – I really would like to – if anybody's listening that has some haunt owners that are facing these problems, please reach out to us. What's the email again? I forget.
It's wrestlehorror@gmail.com.
As simple as that.
Uh-huh.
Wrestlehorror@gmail.com. Reach out to us. We would love to talk to some haunt owners about these type of contingencies and how they feel about it.
Yeah, and here's another one that I was looking at too and wondering how they're going to do it. That, yeah, the high touch items, you know, stuff like that, they want them cleaned on a regular basis.
Yeah.
You know, when people go through haunt, especially even me, you know, haunts are dark. First thing you do, you got your hands out, you're touching walls, you're touching corners, you know, you're feeling props, working your way through the trail of the haunt, the path of the haunt. So, I mean, how are you going to be able to do that? I mean, you can't just have somebody behind people like wiping walls down as they go and wiping props down. And then if you do have to have people there to clean and sanitize on certain, you know, random times, that's going to add to your employee cost, you know, your budget for your employees, because right. You're going to have your actors as normal. Now you're going to have, you know, people dressed in all black that can't be seen going around wiping stuff down, you know, all night long. So, I mean, that's just stuff to consider, you know, it's going to be a different game this year. I'm thinking
it's going to be very interesting this year. That's to say the least. As far as, yeah, they might go to instead of completely dark, they might go to a low level lighting so people can at least see their way through without having to reach out and touch things.
Right.
But in the case where they've got to wipe things down, yeah, I mean, Salt Lake City, the Fear Factory out there, they made the plan for that too. They hired extra people to do certain. They were cleaning the bathrooms after every use.
Mm-hmm.
Every use. They would have somebody go down there and sanitize it.
Yep. And that's what I said, that's just going to increase the, you know, the numbers are already going to be low, I'm predicting, because of the spacing. So that's going to increase their budget by having those extra people in there just specifically just to clean and sanitize.
Well, it's going to be a very, very hard year for the haunts that do open.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, speaking about that, you know, Donnie, you sent me a couple of links before we got started. And I'm looking at the Fear Fair link you sent me. And my buddy Brett Hayes, he runs Fear Fair out there in Seymour, Indiana. I've known Brett for a few years, and he's got a whole page here where it's got the COVID-19 measures. And I mean, the first question is, will Fear Fair be open this year?
Yeah.
And obviously, that's a pretty frequently asked question, and he says they plan to open, but for the health and safety of their guests, they're working and monitoring on the situation to make things safe for everybody, and sanitizing all areas of the haunted house at least hourly during operation and even more thoroughly before opening the next night.
Uh-huh.
Checking temperature of all staff to screen out anyone that's symptomatic. Removing any cloth or other surfaces that guests would have to push their way through or otherwise come into contact with, including squeeze tunnels or what's the name for them? God, I know this too. You know what I'm talking about. It's a big airbags and you go through it.
Yeah.
When I worked at the Dent Schoolhouse, we used to call it the vagina. You had to squeeze yourself through it.
Right. Yeah, and that's another thing. A lot of scenes and stuff has cloth and, you know, hanging and materials, you know, dangling and so that's going to be like I said, people are going to have to change their scenes and everything. It's, you know, it's going to be rough.
Well, see, it says right here that Brett says they're going to use only alcohol-based makeup, mm-hmm. which is a good idea. It's expensive, but it's a good idea. And thoroughly sanitizing airbrushes. Airbrushes, you know, no contact. So there will, you know, there will be makeup.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, if they're doing airbrush, couldn't they just put on a plain white mask and then just airbrush over the mask?
They could do that.
And it'll kind of blend in until they start moving the mask around or whatever. But
well, it all depends on if they have to be vocal and things like that. I mean.
Yeah, true.
And they're going to thoroughly clean and sanitize costumes and masks. And they're mm-hmm. going to keep the same actors in the same roles as much as possible. And right. then he asks about, then there's a question about, you know, PPE, personal protective equipment. Will people be able to wear it? And you got to watch out for that because people might try to get weird and wear mm-hmm. some kind of mask that doesn't see, but, you know,
yeah.
he says right now it's too soon to tell. And he's going to wait what officials say in the fall. But, you know, Fear Fair plans on opening. And, you know, I got to commend Brett for these type of measures. And some of the, you know, larger haunts like, you know, Fear Fair, maybe I haven't heard anything from Dent, but I'm sure the Dent Schoolhouse will be in some way, shape, or form opening.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure Bud and crew have been closely monitoring this as well. What concerns me, not so much of the big haunts, it's the smaller haunts that can't afford all this extra stuff. What's right. going to happen to them?
Yeah. Yeah, like the yeah. lower income, lower level type haunts that are, you know, yeah, they don't have that big budget to go off of.
Right. Or, you know, somebody's yard or home haunt they've been doing, you know, for 20 years because they love it.
Mm-hmm.
Not because they're necessarily making money, but now with all these things in place, you know, they can't afford to open.
Right. Yeah, and another question, speaking of like not being able to afford to open and the income possibilities, I'm looking on the, like I said, back on the Ohio site, and they're saying that the customers have to ensure, we have to ensure a minimum of 6 feet between customers.
Right.
And so that, now is that saying like a group per group, or does everybody have to go through by themselves 6 feet spaced out? Well, so, I mean, now, you know, as soon as they get in that, if that's the case, as soon as that group gets into the haunt, they're all going to be stopping and waiting for everybody. You know what I mean?
Right. I think, you know, based on what I understood with the Fear Factory, you know, if a group orders, I mean, if a group of people order tickets, that group of people will go in together.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it would be people that are familiar with each other, family members, close friends that have been in close contact.
Right.
I think that's the way that's going to work. I mean, you know, if some one random person shows up by themselves, yep, they should go through by themselves.
Right. Yep.
You know, and that's another thing. Ticketing, it's a thing as well. Again, the Fear Factory did completely all online ticketing, non-contact, et cetera, you know, limited. I mean, it was all arranged, pre-arranged so that there was no contact and they had their phone or their piece of paper saying, you know, here's my ticket. Mm-hmm. But that's another thing to consider with all these haunts. You know, cash, cards, contact, you know, your hands on your cards, your hands on your cash.
Right, yeah.
You know, what's next? I mean.
Yeah, I like the online sales only. I kind of agree with that.
Well, and I do too. I do too as well. There are some people that just like to show up and pay cash, but
right,
not this year, I don't think. I mean, it's not going to be that easy. And it's, I can promise you, well, I can't promise you, I shouldn't say that, but in my opinion, that's a better way to put it.
Yeah.
That this year, big or small haunt, if you're open, I think numbers are going to be down. It's going to be tough.
Yeah. Yeah, especially like with queue lines for the bigger haunts, like here in Ohio, right. You know, like 13th Floor and Carnage and Haunted Hoochie. I mean, especially Haunted Hoochie, they have thousands and thousands of people waiting in their queue line at any given night during the haunt season. And if you have to spread all them people out 6 feet apart, you know, that's going to be all, they'll be clear down Broad Street.
Right.
It'll be virtually impossible to do that. So, I mean, with time ticketing, do you think be an option where you know, you're scheduled to go through the haunt at this time, so be there, or, you know, at that time, and then that way it might cut down on the crowd?
I think time ticketing is perfect. And again, I go back to Salt Lake City Fear Factory because these guys spearheaded this thing. They did time ticketing as well. And I think it's the best way to do it for the least amount of contact. And it's going to be hard for places. Even time ticketing is going to be hard for places like the Haunted Hoochie, Dent Schoolhouse, USS Nightmare. I'm just throwing random haunts out there that I'm familiar with in the area. Uh-huh. You know, there's a haunt that my former haunt team Maul used to work at for 6 years. Unfortunately, they did not get rehired for this year. And, you know, there were a lot of variables, but even if those variables had not come into play, the COVID would have killed that anyway. I mean,
mm-hmm. Yep.
So I feel for these owners. I do. I've got a friend of mine out in Waverly, Ohio that does a haunt, and he's still moving forward. And I need to reach out to him. Actually, we've had him on the show. His name's Alan Schell.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And Backwoods Oddities.
Yep.
I'm going to reach out to him and see what's going on. I've been following and watching. They're starting their build and everything and creating new rooms. So I'm sure he's got contingencies in place too.
Right.
So, you know, I saw a meme the other day, and it had it was a Back to the Future meme, and it had Doc Brown sitting in a DeLorean, Marty standing next to him, and it says, "2020, never go there."
That's about right.
this year is just—I think a lot of us would just like to skip and go to 2021.
Mm-hmm. Just do a reboot.
Or something, because this has just been a crazy year. I mean, not only with the COVID, but with all these, I mean, protests,
uh-huh.
You know, and the riots and things. It's just nuts.
Yep. It's been a wild year for sure. Eye-opening.
But the big thing is the COVID and...
Uh-huh.
You know, I even had a scare, not me personally, but my brother texted me yesterday morning and told me, he says, "I've been self-quarantining for the past few days because I've got flu-like symptoms." He says, "But I did put in for my COVID test." So me and my dad were kind of, you know, on pins and needles.
Uh-huh.
And finally, about 1 or 2 o'clock yesterday, he texted me and says, "I got my results back. I am negative."
Good, good.
But, you know, that was kind of scary because, you know, flu-like symptoms is like, oh, shit.
Uh-huh. Like, here it comes.
You know, and my brother's in good shape. He's, you know, he's 52 years old, but he's in good shape.
Uh-huh.
So I figured if anybody could beat it, he could, because he's been a paramedic and all kinds of stuff.
All right, yeah.
But I'm glad he doesn't have it. I mean,
oh, yeah, for sure.
There's some people that I've heard of and friends that I've heard of that I had a friend of mine, and I probably mentioned this on a previous show, a friend of mine that lives in New York, whose dad died from the COVID.
Not good at all.
No. And as a matter of fact, this friend was big in the haunt industry. He makes great static props for the industry that are pretty well known. I'm not going to mention,
right?
Yeah. You know, out of respect to him, but it was that was pretty. You know, it reached out and it touched a lot of the haunt industry that happened.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, getting back to the current day-to-day situation.
Yeah.
And that's just it. It changes from day to day to day.
Right. Yeah. And here's something that we've not even touched on and even considered. And I don't even think we actually even touched on it when we were talking about COVID with the wrestling industry. And you would know more about this than I did, because, you know, this is the haunt industry is your bread and butter. But how important is concessions and stuff like that for the haunt industry? Because I know in wrestling, concessions is a major source of income, and you know, it's a big part of, you know, the wrestling, you know, event. Mm-hmm. But how much is concessions an important part of haunting? Is there a lot of that, and would it hurt bad if they weren't allowed to do the concessions?
In most cases, concessions, you know, they're a little bit of extra money for the haunts, in my opinion. The problem isn't necessarily food or drink. Uh-huh. The problem is merchandise.
Right.
Can you still sell merchandise? Food and drink, I think people can get over. I mean, you know, when I worked at Dent, they had a menu, you know, the food, the walking tacos, hot dogs, things like that.
Uh-huh.
Drinks are big. I mean, I think drinks are probably the biggest thing, because people get, especially if you're in a long queue line, people get tired, they get cranky, they get thirsty.
Uh-huh. Yep.
So I don't think concessions is as big a deal as merchandise is.
Okay.
That's, again, my opinion. If somebody has a different opinion, love to hear from you. WrestleHorror@gmail.com.
For sure.
Because, yeah, I don't know everything about the haunt industry. I can't pretend I know everything about the haunt industry, but I've been in it quite a while, and I've got some friends, but things change.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So that's my take on that. Merch is going to be the thing.
Yeah.
And if you're going to a non-contact system, you can't walk up and pay $20 for a t-shirt.
Right. Yeah.
So maybe they just go to strictly online sales for the merch, which would be a more practical approach to it.
Kind of like an upsell on their ticket purchase. You know, if you want a t-shirt, an additional $15, $10, $20, whatever.
Right. Or you strictly do it online and people can go buy them from your website. I mean, and you can ship it to them.
Yep, that's true.
You know, and, you know, charge a couple bucks for shipping, whatever. And here you go. Here's your t-shirt, or here's your, I've even seen thongs at the Dent Schoolhouse. I mean,
yeah. Yep.
So, you know, if you can put a logo on something, you can sell it.
Uh-huh.
You know? So, I mean, what's your final takes on all this, Donnie? It's just been...
Like I said, I've been just kind of sitting back and reading things as they come across, you know, like you have and stuff. And, it's definitely going to be... This is going to be a different haunt season, I'm thinking, than any we ever seen. You know, because like you said, you know, there's not going to be that personal in-your-face, you know, stuff, unless they can find a way to cover their, you know, mouth and nose, And then still, you know, they got their hands and all that. So, I mean, it's just going to be, and like I said, I envision, you know, going through haunts with scenes that are covered by plexiglass to where there's no contact, you know, a block. And even like drop panels, like it wouldn't surprise me if this season you see a drop panel drop down and there's a piece of shiny plexiglass right there. You know what I mean? It's going to be interesting and different. And I'm not looking for I don't expect the best outcomes for the haunt owners, as in big turnouts and big profits and all that. I think this is going to be a year just to squeeze by and just try to keep the doors open kind of thing. But, you know, like I said, if everybody just keeps moving forward and doing what they do, you know, I'm sure it'll work itself out in the long run.
Yeah, I agree with you. As far as drop panels go, if the lighting's done right, you won't see the plexiglass.
Right. Well, I was saying, I just use that as an example because that's kind of like one of my favorite things to do. But, I mean, even like just regular scenes, you know, you're going to walk by and they're going to have some kind of cover, you know, or spacing or something. It's just, right. It's not going to be the same, you know?
Well, I'm definitely going to try to get out to a couple of haunts this season. Mm-hmm. Just to see what they've done and how they're doing it. If nothing more out of curiosity, I'm sure I will go out. I can almost guarantee you that I will go out to Waverly to my buddy Alan Shell's haunt. Mm-hmm. Which I like try to do every year. I think I've missed one or two, but
yeah. So I've never been to that one, so I'd like to go there myself.
Yeah, you have to come out there with man. He's mm-hmm. Alan puts on a good show. I mean, he's not one of the big dogs, but he does a lot of engineering himself, and he comes up with some pretty unique ideas. So cool. You know, we'll get together, we'll go out and see what he's doing this year, and maybe even see some mall people out there, because mall will be out there at least one night.
Nice.
But definitely want to check out that. And you know, I'd like to check out a couple of the bigger haunts, maybe Dent, or maybe head out to Fear Fair. And see what they've done to, you know, keep people happy. I mean,
mm-hmm. Yep.
It's going to be different. Be prepared. Oh, yeah.
Yep, for sure. I agree 100%.
So with all that being said, we're still looking at anybody that wants to talk about this, any haunt owners, haunt managers, that type of person. Mm-hmm. If you want to talk about this and talk about contingencies and what your plans are, you know, without revealing too much, obviously, but you know, how you're going to take care of the customers. Again, please reach out to us at wrestlehorror@gmail.com. And we'd love to talk to you on the show and get some more input as this situation keeps developing.
Yep, for sure. Absolutely.
So, Donnie, with that being said, I think it's time to wrap this up.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody stay safe. Follow the guidelines the best you can. Keep your fingers crossed. And for those of you that are wrestling fans, email the Ohio Athletic Commission and say, hey, we really want to see this come back. You're opening amusement parks. Why can't wrestling be, you know, I mean, you go into Walmart and
mm-hmm.
you're in more contact with people than.
Yeah, and I think that's the hiccup is the contact part, because all non-contact sports and all non-contact stuff are open. Just right. Like we drove by one of the high schools here in town, and they had a baseball tournament going on, and you know, which is non-contact. But I think that's the main issue is the contact. You know, just like with wrestling, boxing, MMA. And that's where they're, you know, and they're basically from what they told me on the committee meeting I was sitting in on, listening in on, is that they're basically, their hands are tied until, you know, our governor and the CDC and our health administrators and all that say that contact sports can reopen, is pretty much, you know. So there's, I mean, to be honest, there's not really much the Ohio Athletic Commission can do at this point. Their hands are kind of tied. It's all on the, basically the government. And the state of Ohio officials to when they're going to do contact sports again.
Okay, well then send your emails to the Ohio State government.
To DeWine.
Yeah, send it to Mike DeWine. You know, I don't see, and I'm trying to wrap this up, and this pops into my head. I don't see why it can't be pursued if the safety measures are put in place. Check them. I mean, when I go to the doctor, I have to be screened and checked for, you know, they'll check the temperature before I even walk in the door. Why not do the same thing for contact sports?
Right. Yep, I agree.
I mean, you might have to cut down on the seating a little bit, but, you know, pro wrestlers want to work.
Yeah, you know, they say they're getting itchy. I mean, they're getting a well-deserved rest, but they're itching to get back at it, that's for sure.
Right, and some of them are probably grateful for healing up from injuries. Yeah. But
I've seen a couple of posts on Facebook where they're saying that this COVID shutdown's been one of the best things for their bodies, that their bodies are feeling great. I'm like, yeah, I can imagine.
But the others, they're chomping at the bit. Including my daughter, who just graduated from Cody Hawk's training camp, and she's got no place to work.
Right. It's like, yeah, I graduated. Now right. What? Practice promos and do that.
Right.
Well, there you go.
She's
thanks for listening.
But anyway,
make sure you follow us on all of our social media outlets. Facebook.com/WrestleHorror. Instagram at WrestleHorror.
Yep, for sure.
Twitter at WrestleHorror.
Until next time, I'm Meathook Jim along with Donnie Hoover.
Also, you can find us at www.WrestleHorror.com.